Lecture topic, gay marriages, and what next?
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها قل إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء أتقولون على الله ما لا تعلمون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إذا فاتتك الحياء فاصنع ما شئت أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, we are now passing through a time and a period where there are different days that are symbolic to different movements, different organizations. So supposedly the 1st of December marked the World's AIDS Day. And hence there was people that actively engaged, there was advertisements, there was campaigns of conscientizing people of the extent of the pandemic. There were stats that were released to say that 8,000 people across the globe die daily as a result of HIV/AIDS, out of which 1,000 is in South Africa. Obviously, those are alarming statistics. But really, the sad thing is that the very day that marked the AIDS Awareness Day coincides with the ruling of the Constitutional Court of the permissibility of gay marriages. If you sat and you heard yesterday's news, and you followed, and you've seen the advertisements, and you've seen the posters, then you'll find joy over gay marriages. And yet, a spokesman from the gay organization to say we are happy that it's been approved, but we upset about the delay, that it will be amended in 12 months only. So, this is the irony of one side we cry, we plea, we wonder, the pandemic has reached alarming proportions, it's claiming lives across the globe, and it coincides, with the new law and the new amendment of the gay marriages. So initially it was, the definition of marriage was a union between a man and a woman, husband and wife, but this was found to be discriminating against the lesbians and the gays, and hence now it will be a union between two humans, between two people. The nature of the human ego, if it is left and it is not suppressed and it is not subdued and it is not controlled, believe me, a time will come, they will have to re-amend this one also here, because you'll find some foolish man that will decide to get married to an animal. Then I guess they will have to say a union between two creatures. They'll have to say, because it will be discriminating against him. And this is not something unheard of. There have been isolated, remote cases where people have intended doing certain things with animals which are unbecoming, which are unethical. But what I'm saying is, if it carries on like this here, one person has to lift his head up and say, you're discriminating against me and you are violating my independent rights, and then there's an amendment against it. When it goes against all divine religions, zina has caused enough corruption on the earth, has left enough people dead, has left this world immoral, shattered sufficient marriages, left behind sufficient illegitimate children. The world really needs now to repent and reflect. And now we find that this fitna is really raising its head and coming across very, very strongly and forcefully. The point that I want to speak, I've spoken about morality, I've spoken about zina, I've spoken about many topics. But one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That those who wish to promote immorality amongst the believers, those who wish to make immorality common amongst them and make it a symbol. And this again, as we see, you will find the Western world and you will find people that perhaps do not follow any faith. They will able to abstain from all crimes but immorality. This is a distinguished factor of a believer. There'll be many people that will abstain from wine, from intoxicants, because they know it's harmful for their health. I was listening to a program last week, and they were speaking about supposedly certain benefits of wine. It should be taken in this quantity. So there was a caller that called in and said, you know what, I don't drink, a non-Muslim caller. Should I force myself to drink to get that benefits or not? Should I force myself to drink? So you will find people, just decent humans, regardless of the faith, or even if they don't follow any faith, they are conscious that this is harmful. Some people will abstain from pork because of cholesterol and because of this harms on their health. But unfortunately, when it comes to the aspect of immorality, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرَ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى. The biggest tool of the devil is immorality and nudity. So we find that because it's becoming so common, then this is what I want to focus on, is that this act of zina is not being detested by a Muslim as it ought to be. Let me ask myself sincerely, and you ask it to yourself, my brother, while we might externally frown when we hear of zina, but what are the sentiments in my heart deep down? I'm afraid I might frown on him, but desire that action more than the one who perpetrated it. Let us ask ourselves, to what extent do we dislike the sin? To what extent do we detest this wrong? Do we sincerely, from our hearts, inherently hate this vice? Or is the answer somehow different? You know, on a lighter note, they say this 55-year-old man, he asked his wife, do you feel offended when I run behind young girls? Do you feel offended? So his wife said, no, of course I don't feel. Even dogs run behind cars, they can't drive. Even dogs run behind cars, they can't drive. So men run behind women, they can't ride, I guess. Astaghfirullah. What is happening? It has become a society that is totally immoral. By the way, brothers, I don't read these jokes, in case you want to know. You know, must I call him a faithful friend of mine, so what is he? But he always updates me with some latest stats and some relevant jokes. And, you know, I tell him, you give it to me, I have the platform. Khair. So what I'm saying is, the society has become so immoral. Ask ourselves sincerely, to what extent do I hate it? And then it comes and it's now clouded with the aspect of these gay marriages and these lesbians. Now, when we look at the act of zina, then the action per se is not wrong. It's because it's happening outside the framework of marriage. It's happening outside wedlock. So it becomes incorrect because it's not happening between husband and wife. Otherwise, the action per se is correct. The action per se is right. But it's because with a strange person, it's a strange person. And that again is the beauty of the name of Allah. That is the beauty of the name of Allah. That before you take Allah's name, you look at that woman, your eyes are committing zina. You sleep with that woman, you are fornicating. You touch that woman, the Prophet ﷺ says it's better that a nail be driven in your head. So any contact with that woman is unlawful. Then you have the simple procedure of nikah, which is the intercession of the word of Allah. Now you look at her with the eyes of mercy, it is reward. You consummate the relation, it is perpetual charity. You put a morsel in her food, it is great reward. So it is just the intervention of the word Allah. It is the intervention of what I'm saying is, when we look at zina, it is detestable. The action per se is not wrong. It is with whom you are doing that makes it wrong. And when we look at the aspect of gays and lesbians, the action itself is wrong. The action itself is wrong. And you will be surprised to know, I have personally dealt with cases where youngsters, Muslim youngsters, have come and said, Sheikh, I have a problem. I incline to the same gender. I incline to the same sex. I couldn't believe my eyes. There was a brother here that came and spoke, not about himself, but about a friend of his. And he said, how do I approach the situation? How do I deal with the situation? So this thing is becoming more common and more common. Now, last week you heard regarding the ego. Allah speaks about the human ego in the Quran. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. That the nature of the human ego is constant provocation. Allah says that is the nature. Allah has created the ego and the soul. And the nature of the human, it is nothing like enough, saturated, sufficient in the vocabulary of the human ego. And I was telling one brother this week here also, there is no logic to sin. There is no logic. So a man is not gambling because he lacks money. You don't apply logic. Sin doesn't have logic. Son doesn't have, a man is not making zina because he doesn't have a beautiful wife at home. It's because he's got that evil practice. And I always tell it to youngsters that if you have this habit now, come out of the deception. The day you married, you won't make zina. Come out of that deception. You will do it even more. Because sin has no logic. So you're not stealing because you are hungry. There are people that are still stealing. And you know, we believe that that is it. In our country, it is emphasized strongly. But I've traveled into other parts of Africa where perhaps the unemployment rate is much lower than here, or much higher than here. Less people are employed, yet the crime is much lower. So it is not directly related. It might have some connotations and implications, but I don't think it's correct to generalize that if you're hungry, you will steal. What I'm saying is that sin has no logic. Sin has no justification. Sin cannot be analyzed. You ask this person, man, happens typically that he's behind a woman, he's pursuing an illicit relation. What happens? No, my wife is old and you know what, she's lost her beauty. But then the irony of the whole thing is the woman he's behind is older than his wife. Now again, this now refutes logic. This refutes logic. What is it? He's blind. This is the devil. We all are weak, we all are susceptible, we all are vulnerable. And then we have another fitna to come and cloud it and just extend our vulnerability. And now we have cases like this here. I can tell you the scholars are dealing with this because I personally have dealt with it. The youngster comes and tells you, this is my weakness, this is my problem, how do I deal with it? So, the Quran says that this human ego, if it will not be controlled, if it will not be subdued, then there is nothing like end to it. It will continue demanding more and more. And the Quran says, regarding such people who surrender to this ego and the provocation of this ego, Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are like the animals, nay, they are worse than the animals. When man stoops so low that he succumbs in totality and he is guided by the demands and the dictates of his ego. He's guided by that. This world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Allah has placed you in. It is green. It is attractive. The temptations are great. And the greatest temptation is that of woman. This was said in a time when there was modesty, when there was values, when there were ethics. Now we are living in a time when it is absent. And the hadith that I quoted in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there is only one quality, which if you possess it, it will deter you against evil. And there is only one quality, in its absence, it becomes easy to disobey every order of Allah. And that is modesty. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is that one quality. Now what is modesty? Modesty is a natural deterrent, which Mother Nature has inherently placed in man to assist him to abstain from sin and vice. Allah has created good and Allah has created evil. And Allah has created two forces within the man. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah says, we've inspired him nobility, and there is also an evil whisper within man. The evil whisper is the ego. What is the nature of the ego? أَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّ. Constant provocation. Few months ago, we went one place, I went for a lecture, and after the lecture, they took me hunting. So, something, an eye opener. While we were going, hunting, not that I shot anything, I seen there was quite a bit of dead cattle lying around. So I asked the owner, of the farm, I said, you're losing a lot of cattle here, what's the problem? So he says, Maulana, you're not going to believe me. He picks up a blade of grass, tulip, which is greener than the other grass. He says, this grass is poisonous. And this is an absolute reality, and the beauty or the irony or the challenge is that it's greener than the other grass. He says, now when we get new cattle, they're not familiar with this grass. They eat on it. It creates instant constipation, which results in aggravation and excruciating pain. And in 24 hours, the cow is dead. At that time, this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ came to me, where he said, this world is green. This world is green and its temptations are green. But fear Allah therein. And I told him, while we were going hunting, I told him that very hadith. And he picked it up. And you would think it's better grass. It's grown better. It would nourish the person better. Outwardly, any person, unless of course you know. He says, now obviously when they get cattle, then immediately they would rub it around their teeth and make them understand and get them to know that this is poisonous so that they will never dare eat it. What I'm saying is that which is looking attractive, that which is looking seductive, that which is looking tempting, that is the very thing that will destroy you. So the point is that unfortunately today, while we join the world, we join the world in sympathizing with the victims of the AIDS, those that are suffering, especially innocent children. But we said it before and we say it again, we cannot deal with the pandemic of AIDS outside the framework of morality. There's no other way we can approach it. To take on the problem head on, we have to stay within the confines of morality, and we need to address it on every possible platform. So yes, the innocent children that have become victims because of the wrongs of others, our deepest sympathy with them. And they need to be destigmatized, and society needs to embrace them. And we need to have more awareness campaigns. But you know, there's something to think about. We've been taught a dua by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you see someone in any sickness or any illness, then the following dua should be read. Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma batalahu bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. That you see a blind person, you see a crippled person, you see a disabled person, you read the dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani. All praise belongs to Allah who has granted me safety and security over the illness which he has inflicted on another. That is the dua. Look at the beauty of Islam. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And Allah has given me a degree of virtue and merit over many of his other creations. So you see people suffering, and today this dua should be on your tongue every minute, because there are so many people suffering. But at the same time, we've been taught in the hadith that the dua should be read in a soft tone so that you don't insult that person and he doesn't feel offended. That imagine this man, he's looking at me and thinking, Allah, he's not like me. So we've been taught to respect the sentiments of the sick person, the person who's a victim to any sickness. We thank Allah. But coupled with that, in the hadith, we've been taught that if we see people suffering any condition, which is as a result of a crime he's committed, which is self-inflicted, then the dua should be read boldly in front of them. That is the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see a man suffering, but he's suffering because of a crime he's committed. Self-inflicted, obviously not the first time, when he persists and he repeats it. Now, like I said, yesterday I was sitting and thinking, and I'm listening to the news. And I say, one side it's this AIDS awareness, and one side the constitutional court rules about the gays. You know, how long does men want to interfere with the system of Allah? How long does men want to play tricks with Allah? When will man learn his lesson? We ask a general question. So at that time, you got to read the dua boldly. Alhamdulillahi alladhi aafani mimma btalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his sahaba. A sahabi by the name of Sa'd radiallahu anhu came. Now when we talk of detesting zina, because today you pick up the paper, there is a leisure section, Allah forbid. You walk into any section. What I'm saying is the exposure is so great, even those that have not committed it in their hearts, they don't detest it as a Muslim ought to detest crime. As a Muslim ought to detest sin. Allah, what is it that I don't hate your disobedience as I supposed to hate it? And that was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. Allah, make your obedience beloved to me. Then decorate it and engrave it on my heart. وَكَرِّهْ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ. And with my human nature and my inherent qualities, let me from the lowest part of my heart hate sin. So I don't abstain just as compliance, but I understand it's harmful. I understand it's sin. You know, one is a child who leaves and shuns what you tell him, but reluctantly, not understanding that it's in his interest. So he drops the knife, failing to understand the wisdom that why my father doesn't give me the knife. O Muslim, has the time still not dawned upon you that you understand zina is evil for you? Has the time still not dawned upon you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with the sahaba. One sahabi by the name of Sa'd radiallahu anhu comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, tell me, if I come home one day and I find my wife with a stranger, what should I do? You see the tone of the sahaba, they all lifted their gaze and they started frowning on him. What a question is he asking? Is he entertaining something? Is there a possibility of something? Immediately there was a degree of frowning in the environment. There was a shuffle, there was a bickering that what's the matter, what's happening? Why does he ask such a question? So Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, if I come home and I find my wife with a strange man, I'm afraid I will strike him with the sharp edge of my sword there and there. So the Sahaba all admired, you know, the sense of honor, the sense of honor in Sa'd radiallahu anhu, that possessive nature. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you impressed with his sense of honor? I swear by Allah, I have a greater sense of honor than Sa'd has. I have a greater sense of honor and I have a more possessive nature than Sa'd radiallahu anhu has. Now, that is what I want to focus on very briefly, is that because these sins are becoming common and these discussions are becoming common, the evil nature is leaving our heart. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, al-imanu wal-haya'u qurana'u jami'a. Iman and faith are inseparable components. Iman and faith are inseparable components. They are inseparable partners. If modesty has left any human, the next to leave is iman. If modesty has left any person, the next to leave is iman. Allah speaks about the condition of our father Adam and our mother Hawa. We've been taught as Muslims that our teachings are in accordance with human nature. And this is something again we must understand. So we believe, not blindly, but diligently, after applying our mind, that all the laws of Allah Ta'ala are in accordance with the human temperament. It goes in accordance with the human flow. It doesn't contradict the human pattern of thought. It coincides, provided the human nature is preserved. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that is the hadith, clipping of the nails, trimming of the mustache, lengthening of the beard, cleaning of the pubic hair. He said, these are human desires. These are human aspirations. A human, the manner in which Allah created him. And we also believe that obviously, since Adam and Hawa was the first two humans, whatever they did is human nature. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam forgot, his children still forget. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam forgot, his children still forget. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, whatever he did, it carried down. It carried down continuously with man. Now let's look at the condition of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to give us a glimpse of the modesty Allah has put in a man. What is the modesty Allah has put in a human? Allah has favored human with great modesty. What is the modesty that Allah has put? Adam and Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala told them that move around merrily in Jannah. Move around merrily in Jannah. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And don't come close to this tree. Don't come close to this tree. This is what Allah Ta'ala told them. One thing. Because then you will be sinners. Now again, the devil came to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the devil said, listen, I'm not telling you get close. But if you want, I can tell you the wisdom of why you mustn't get close. Let me just explain to you the wisdom. Today we want to analyze everything logically. Must I tell you why your Allah stopped you from this tree? مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. If you will eat from here, you will be favored with eternity. You will be made an angel. And you have been denied that opportunity and that privilege. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. And I swear by my God and your God and the God of humanity, I only say this in your well-being and in your good interest. There are many people today that are chanting slogans that they are out to benefit us. Let us not forget the first one that made that false claim was the devil. The very first one that betrayed us, we need to apply our mind. Are they our well-wishers or are they out to harm us? Your money has been taken, you are violating the orders of Allah, and you have been told it's a savings account. What a polite title. What a nice way. Allah and His Nabi says you are at war with Him. Allah says every cent in your money will be destroyed and you have been told it's a savings account. What a beautiful way of presenting, marketing, I guess. So what happens here? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah knows best. For whatever reason, the devil influences. The devil influences Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and he eats from the tree. Now, as soon as he ate from the tree, as I mentioned, whatever he does is human. He was the first human. فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ. You know, now when I was in San Francisco, we went for a drive down, and you know how sin has been invited and you've been tempted. I actually seen an advertisement of a place of evil. I need not mention to it. Reference is sufficient. I dare you to take a bite from the forbidden fruit. That is how people were being invited and sucked in and pulled in. Now, you know, we know how weak our spirituality is. And this is the exposure in the environment in which we're going. And these type of things are only gaining momentum. The Prophet said, Allahumma la yudrikni zamanun, la yuttaba'u fihi al-alim, wa la yustahya fihi min al-halim. Allah, let me not live up to see an era where immorality becomes common and modesty becomes absent. Allah, before that, take me away. Now, you and I are born in that era. The minimum we can say, Allah, let it not happen in my house. Let it not happen in my environment. Let me not allow it. If Allah has given me authority over a section and I'm in charge in my house, in my environment, let me see that acts of immorality do not take place. Now, what is happening? Again, I said, we've accepted it. So our heart is not hating the sin. We've been taught to love the sinner and hate the sin. Allah forgive, we hate the sinner and we love the sin. Think about it, brothers. Islam teaches us that we must hate the sin and love the sinner. Don't shun the sinner. That is not the teachings of Islam. We've got to encourage him. A mother has a child. The child messes the diapers. The mother, because of the love of the child, doesn't leave the child messed. And because of the mess, she doesn't shun the child. So what's the compromise? What's the moderation? Clean the child and embrace the very same child. So embrace the sinner, but shun the sin. That is the teachings of Islam. That is the teachings of Islam. The scholars explain, briefly, I mentioned this here, that when sin becomes common, there are four things that are worse than the sin. There are four things that are worse than the sin. The sin is one. But if four attitudes prevail, then that is worse than the sin. Al-istisghar, when the sin and the disobedience of Allah is trivialized. It's considered, well, he did it, she did it, they do it. That attitude is worse than the sin. That attitude is worse than the sin. Al-istisghar. Wal-istibshar, when you commit a crime and Allah forbid, you rejoice on the crime you committed. So I enjoyed this, I did this, you have a degree of, you feel accomplished. You feel privileged. You feel you've met with the times. It was daring to do it and you did it. So you feel that much more about yourself. Al-istibshar. Wal-israr, you persist on the sin. Wal-ightirar. And the fourth one is when you don't see the consequences of that sin. So Allah said that if immorality will come about, like in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the hadith that in Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when five things will become prevalent amongst you, and I hope it doesn't happen. He said, when five things become prevalent, and I hope it doesn't happen, but should it happen, let me tell you the consequences. One is when immorality will become common amongst you, I promise Allah Ta'ala will inflict such sicknesses, this is the hadith of Ibn Majah, Allah will inflict such sicknesses which will be unheard by the previous people and which will baffle the intelligence of the surgeons of that time. So now we are looking for cure here and there when the nature of the sickness is divine. When the nature of the sickness is divine. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, when cheating will become common in business, then Allah will inflict droughts upon you. And when you will deny giving zakat, then Allah will withhold His rain so much that if it wasn't for the animal kingdom, He would have never given rain. If it wasn't for the animal kingdom, He would have never given rain. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa ate from the tree, the Quran said, "Badat lahuma sawatuhuma," their private organs got exposed. Now, what is human nature? Tafiqa yaqsifani alayhima min waratil jannah. Both husband and wife felt embarrassed. They are together. Husband and wife are together. There's no stranger. They started plucking the leaves of the trees of Jannat and they started covering themselves. Because of eating from that forbidden tree, the penalty of it was, or part of it was, that they were denied or deprived of the garment of Jannah, as a result of which their private organs were exposed. But the human nature came into action. And what was the human nature? They started covering themselves. And that is the teachings of Islam. And that is the message we call out to the entire Muslim Ummah, that abstinence is the cure. Abstinence is the cure. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He guide us to that which is correct. And He instill within us the love of His obedience. And He instill within us true hatred for His disobedience. He has said in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that iman's sweetness will only enter when you love Allah passionately, when you obey Him willingly, when you avoid His disobedience from the very recesses of your heart. Allah favor us with that spirit and zeal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntex CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.